This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening, and welcome to the Well-Being Report. This program is generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, Executive Director here at WDIY, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Samantha Schock, the Executive Director at Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Welcome. Hi, Margaret. Good to be here.
Hi. All right, so last month's episode focused on the Blue Zones Initiative in Allentown that is working on improving well-being by improving the built environment. So we talked a lot about that last month. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, thank you. So last month we highlighted the built environment, or that physical space where we interact on a regular basis, and how we can enact ways to make the healthy choice the easy choice, which is the focus of the Blue Zones Initiative. But one important part of the built environment that we talked about is food systems and community members having regular, sustainable access to healthy food that they can afford. And we talked about it being a core part of the vital conditions of basic needs for health and safety, just to walk it back to that broader well-being piece that's the focus of the show.
Right.
And so today we're going to go deeper into this area, and with one organization that's been committed to expanding healthy food access in many important ways for nearly two decades here in the Lehigh Valley. The Kellen Foundation focuses on community-based collaborative efforts that make living a healthy lifestyle the cultural norm and promoting well-being through nutrition and education.
Great. And so tonight, joining us from the Kellen Foundation is the co-founder and chief executive officer, Eric Ruth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Just to give our listeners a little background on you before we launch into this discussion, the well-being of children raised in today's world has been a major influence on Eric Ruth's life. Raising three children, teaching thousands more, and seeing the habits, pressures, and influences on our children and families led Eric to co-found the Kellen Foundation. He is a graduate of the Eisenberg School of Management at the University of Massachusetts and served 15 years in the accounting field before starting this nonprofit and basically altering your life's vocation. So we're looking forward to hearing all about your work with Kellen.
If we could start with the mission and values of the Kellen Foundation. Eric, can you share the story behind how the Kellen Foundation came to be and talk a little bit about its mission to promote well-being?
My co-founder, Dr. Megan Greger, came to me one day. We knew each other as friends, and she was kvetching about the healthcare system and how she couldn't treat her patients the way she wanted to. And in the process of over a few months of talking with each other, one day I just looked at her and said, why don't we build something that you as a doctor would refer patients to and do it outside the system and show the world that we can change health behaviors in a way that the current health system cannot.
And you just did it.
And we just did it. We just started and did it. The mission really is, both Megan and I are very much doers. The mission is to develop but implement programs and get them started and do it to reduce the chronic disease state of individuals, families, and then if you go broader, communities and the nation as a whole. And from the day one, we were looking at the bigger picture of how do we change the chronic disease burden that exists in our country.
What are some of those chronic diseases? Were there specific types that you were seeing frequently or that your partner was seeing?
8 of the 10 things that kill us in today's world are things we bring on ourselves by our lifestyle, including your chronic disease, heart disease, including your diabetes, a lot of cancers, stroke. They're all related to the same basic disease state of your body.
So can you walk us through Kellen's flagship programs? There are a number of them. The Kellen Mobile Market, Kellen Schools, Kellen Kitchen, Kellen Lifestyle Medicine.
Yeah, I would like to say that we were smart enough in the beginning to think that all these would be there, but we didn't start with the four at one time. We started out with what we call lifestyle medicine programs back in 2007 when we started, taking families and bringing them in a support group of maybe 10 to 15 families at a time, giving them the medical background, the educational background, and then the support, teaching them how to cook, teaching them to change their taste buds and the foods that are eating more whole foods, not ultra-processed foods. And it worked very, very well. We just were ahead of our time. We couldn't get it going anywhere. Megan was on the Easton School District's wellness committee, and the school was cutting back in that time, and they asked if we'd come in and start teaching the children in the elementary schools, which we did. A year later, Bethlehem called us, and now today we are in 44 elementary schools across the Lehigh Valley. So the school program has grown dramatically. We do school gardens in 40 of those schools, so we're not only teaching the kids about that, we're having them hands-on in the soil. One of the children back at one of the schools came to us one day and said, "My parents can't get the food that you talk about." Mm-hmm. That was the impetus, if you will, the catalyst to us to research and then eventually launch our first mobile market back in 2016. And those mobile market, the initial one was a 27-foot refrigerated trailer pulled by a pickup truck. And 3 years later, we had grown so much that we bought another one, and we had two out there at this current time across the Lehigh Valley. And the other thing that came across was teaching kitchens. We didn't have the ability to, when we were talking to people, we had one example in Allentown where we gave fresh produce to a young mom, and she basically gave it back to us and said, "I don't know how to cook with this." Mm. So you can give away food and you can give away things, but if you don't know how to cook with it, mm-hmm. it's not going to make a difference. So all those four areas of Kellen came at different times based on learning the community, basically. Mm. That's how we ended up having four initiatives.
So when you go into the schools, flashbacking to my days in Allentown School District and the old home ec programs, right?
Yes.
And I had a cooking class that I took, and I can tell you, we weren't cooking healthy things.
No.
I know how to make scones, French toast, and orange Julius, and oatmeal cookies.
Yeah.
Like, so you're not doing that, right?
No. In the schools, in our third grade program, we teach the children what is real food as compared to what is not real food. And obviously the worst not real food is ultra-processed foods. But they get to understand what real food really is. In fourth grade, we teach them, because their math skills are good enough, we teach them how to read and understand nutrition labels. It refers to boxes, bottles, and bags, because you don't see a nutrition label on an apple. Mm. It's things that are packaged. And in fifth grade, we teach them we turn them into food detectives. It's a cumulative program, and we teach them how to survive in the world. When you go out to a friend's house, or you go out to a restaurant, or you go to the corner store, how do you make your healthiest choice? Hmm. It's all about healthy choices. It's not about being perfect. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding what the healthy choice is. As long as they do, it'll progress nicely.
What's the importance of it, that education happening at the elementary school level as opposed to middle school or high school?
The younger you can get a child, and we deliberately started at third grade. We were asked to go to first and second grade, but the ability for a child to absorb and retain the detail of what is required to understand this. I mean, you can feed first graders and babies, actually, fresh food, and they get used to it, which is great. But so we just started to start in third grade, but waiting till they're in middle school or high school, much like training an adult, they've established habits and friendship groups and everything else that really influence how they eat and what they do. And so the earlier you get them, the better. Mm. And that's why we decided to start in elementary schools.
Yeah, makes sense.
These are all fantastic individual programs, but I know that's not really the end goal for you. Can you tell us about your neighborhood immersion strategy and how the mobile market plays a role in that, and how these four individual components add up to a broader approach?
Somewhere about 8 years ago, probably after we had ready to launch our second mobile market, it became very clear that there are many projects out there, not only from Kellen's perspective, but other nonprofit projects and other good things, but they are simply projects. and they have a start and an end, and it doesn't provide the impact that you really would want to. So we, Megan and I, sat down and we were strategizing, and it was quite obvious that the combination of the schools and the mobile market and the teaching kitchens, and now we've brought back the lifestyle medicine programs all together at one time in one neighborhood has the maximum impact. It's like a synergy, like one plus one, you know, in this case, the four has a synergy of probably eight. It doubles its impact because we are seeing the people on the mobile market every week, year round. We're seeing the kids, their children in the schools multiple times a year. We're taking the children out into the school gardens, reinforcing healthy lifestyles. We have teaching kitchens for the parents to understand how to cook this if they struggle. And then for those who are already in a chronic disease state, we can bring them into our lifestyle medicine programs. And it's all in one neighborhood, which means that you can then start developing champions. Individual people in those neighborhoods that are now becoming champions themselves, and they will tell their neighbors. The long-term goal of all of this is to replace Kellam and have the neighborhood do it by itself. Any business succession planning, you want to replace yourself. And so the more we can do this, and if enough people want to buy vegetables and can afford to buy vegetables one way or the other, maybe somebody will start a grocery store in that neighborhood, or maybe a corner store will expand enough to be able to handle a full produce department. But you have to have those champions out of that neighborhood start leading their own friends and neighbors.
It's almost like you want to put yourself out of business.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's plenty neighborhoods around to go to.
It's a sustainability plan, right? Yep. It's building in that capacity within a neighborhood to be able to provide that service for itself eventually. And that connects back to our work within Franklin Park that we often talk about, and place-based, being really engaged within a neighborhood. And so that neighborhood immersion strategy really fits within that work. And Kellam has now had their mobile market in Franklin Park twice a week over the last year, and it has been hugely successful, as well as being in the Allentown School District, elementary schools that are in that neighborhood, Ramos and Hayes Elementary School, and all the elementary schools in Allentown, really. So do you want to share a little bit about your experience over this last year and seeing that come into this neighborhood in particular?
I absolutely loved it. You know, people will say that language is a barrier, and I would counter that and say, not if the relationship's there. I don't speak Spanish. Every time I go to the market, I'm getting hugs, I'm getting communication. We are there every week providing a service. We had 1,400 households going through us on a weekly or biweekly basis at the two sites. And the gratitude and the love and the connection and the understanding, and once you build those relationships, you learn everything. You learn everything about there. I mean, you knew when they were kicked out of their house and had to find a new home. You knew when they had a child or a parent that they had to take care of. You knew when they couldn't cook a food, they didn't know how to do this or do this. And they would tell you because they trusted you. So the key for us in this scenario is that the mobile market is a destination on a weekly basis for a lot of households in the Franklin Park area. You build that communication, you build that trust. That becomes the funnel. Then the kids come. I had kids dragging their parents. They teach us in the schools. You have to come to this. So that connection from the school part. I've had families there that jump in and help in the gardens over the summertime. We let them take the produce home. Why not? That's what it's there for. The big thing is it's the relationship. And with a relationship and trust, you can accomplish all their very personal things about medical side and cooking and what's going on in your life, but you have to have that relationship. Without it, you're just a service. But now we've established that trust, and it's phenomenal.
The mobile market, is this produce for sale or is it free?
It's both.
Oh, okay.
So we accept FMMP vouchers. We accept EBT. And we get vouchers to offset the cost. Last year, we had a $15 voucher. So the first $15 was for free. And then they could use whatever other means. It's a rolling produce department of roughly 75 items. It's a real produce department. Yeah. It's not a farmer's market. Don't confuse it with that. This is a real We have tropical fruits. We have fruits in season. We buy as much from local farms as we possibly can, but we supplement nationally, and we go year-round.
Wow.
We were out in 5-degree weather this winter to be there, because if you're trying to change the health of somebody, mm-hmm. you have to be there year-round. It cannot be, I'm here 6 months, see you next year.
Right.
It has to be that way. So it's a rule. We have nuts, we have seeds, we have grains, we have flowers on the market. We have lifestyle medicine meals, prepared meals that are cooked with whole food, plant-based.
How does this all fit in a truck? I really need a visual here. We're going to need some photos.
It's a 20.
Serious.
You have to come out and see it.
Yeah, it's a 27-foot refrigerated trailer, and usually we bring our 12-foot refrigerated van to carry more food at the same time. So
wow.
It is very busy. It is very packed. It is very joyous. It's fun, but it is a job. So if you or I were going to buy, we would pay full price.
Right.
For somebody who is maybe underserved or has a lower income, they would simply fill out a form one time. We put them into our system, and every time they walk up, they just bring up their food. We know who they are. Boom, they get a discount. Mm. And nobody ever knows it. So you could be right next to somebody who's getting a discount.
Right.
And that dignity and respect of that is real.
Right. So. That's awesome.
One of the follow-up things I wanted to ask you about is that local food sourcing piece. When we talk about a sustainable food mm-hmm. system, we know that that means that we have to really be leveraging and optimizing local food resources. So talk to us about how that works for you all and how do you incorporate that?
We were one of the first local entities out there that a lot of farmers started wholesaling to back in 2016. So I literally went farm to farm of the people I knew were vegetable farmers primarily and asked them if they'd like to support Kellen. And we buy from them at the price they designate. We don't negotiate with them. We tell us, what's your price? Because we want them to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
They're very kind. They give us good prices. I mean, it's not, they don't do that game. But we have built it up to probably we have 20 farmers over the course of the year. Maybe 7 of them are our primary suppliers over the year. But the problem with the Lehigh Valley at this point, and this is probably going to end up being one of the, if you're referring back to last week's Blue Zones initiative, one of the things we don't have in this area is a food hub or a food processing plant. So where local farmers can put stuff together. A lot of local vegetable farmers do not have the capacity to sell to a Bethlehem area school district, as an example. They might be able to I could give you 50 cartons a week of tomatoes. I can't give you 200.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, produce is grown when school's not in session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the fall might work, but there's very little in the springtime. What we are deeply involved in, too, and like the Bethlehem Food Co-op's another one that started, if they start buying and we're buying, and Second Harvest is still buying, the farmers don't produce enough to handle that load.
Yeah.
So it is part of our overall mission is to help build the farm community and tie them together. We put together a program last year as a starting point. Lehigh Valley Health Network is involved. Bethlehem Murray School District was involved. Second Harvest, Bethlehem Food Co-op, Kellen, where we went out to these larger entities and said, would you start buying from a local farm? And not in the traditional way of buying, more like the way Kellen bought from them. I know that I sell 10,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. So I will go out to a farmer and say, would you grow this for me? If you do, I will guarantee you I will buy 10,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. Farmer goes, of course. As long as he has the land to do it, he'll do it. So instead of negotiating a price up front and making it a true business transaction, these businesses that I just mentioned have said that they will go out, come to the table with a farmer, and work with them to give them orders that the farmer can grow slowly and efficiently and strategically without hurting themselves.
Hmm.
So.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the biggest challenges you've encountered in promoting nutrition wellness in the Lehigh Valley besides the access? Or maybe that is the biggest.
No, I think overall from day one, it has been to get funders. And Sam is a wonderful example of looking at the bigger picture and looking to do impact. Going after funders and coming back and saying, there's a specific project with a specific start and end date is not the way to have long-term impact. You have many projects to have the impact that you should have will take years, you know, maybe a decade, maybe a generation. You start the process going forward. You take a pilot project like we're doing in Franklin Park and you make it work. Mm. You focus on it and you make it work and you take as long. And once that pilot project is working and once that community takes it over, you can go to another neighborhood and start a pilot over there and go that way. So I think having funders look at the bigger, longer term picture is one of the challenges. Nonprofits trying not to rely on state and federal grants. It's come to bite a lot of them now, but even when Kellen started, Megan and I made that decision way back when, we were not going to depend on those. We were going to go outside and either self-funded initially like we did, or we are going to find local partners. We've used some state and federal, but it's our operation doesn't depend on it. I think that's another challenge. Really, it's just breaking down some of the barriers and the legalities around, like changing school lunches. There's a lot of legal requirements there. Getting hospitals to change is going to be tough for a while because they're all fee-based and they are in survival mode right now. So we have built ourselves outside of the hospital system, but we are integrated both with both of the big systems here to the fact that we refer patients back to them from our programs. Hmm. It's amazing how many people that we talk to don't have a primary care doctor and use the ER as their resource, which is not good for anybody.
How do your program participants find you? Or are they referred through the healthcare system? Or, I mean, you're in the schools, so that's one source.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the mobile market is the biggest one. We've been around now since 2016 with the mobile market. It's very visible. And between the schools and the mobile market and other nonprofits knowing us, I don't think the healthcare systems necessarily, although it's starting to, the federal qualified health centers like Valley Health Partners are starting to do that. And Star Wellness has in the past also. So I think it's just the awareness of that we're in the neighborhood all the time, almost like the other nonprofit we talked about before we got on. We have plenty right now.
Wow. your demand is higher than your what you can provide, or is it kind of holding steady at this point?
We are at full capacity, but it really is a matter of if we had additional funding to do, we could easily increase our capacity, but it can't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It has to be planned.
Right.
And I think your longevity in the Lehigh Valley is a part of it as well.
Oh, yeah.
You're a known entity at this point, right? Yeah. And your green shirts that you wear everywhere are known. And so that household recognition, I think, is a big piece to enabling new pilots, new partnerships to start fairly quickly if you have capacity and opportunity there. So I think there's a piece to that, which you talked about too, that things don't happen overnight, but it's about that consistency of showing up in the same places all the time that lets people really get to know you and your team. And I think one theme through what you've talked about today, whether it's the healthcare system or the school district, is collaboration and partnership, which is something that we often come back to here because none of us can do this work alone. We need each other, and particularly within a neighborhood, really thinking about how do we all work together to provide opportunities for residents within a neighborhood. So can you touch on the ways that Kellen has collaborated with other local organizations to address food access, food deserts, and health disparities? You're one of many other organizations in the Valley that is working towards the same mission, even if it's in lots of different ways. So how do you work with others to make that larger impact happen?
We play nicely. I think on the food access side alone, we've worked well with Second Harvest. One example right here in Bethlehem was when Ahearts shut down.
Right.
We were the truck that came into that parking lot and stayed there for 2 years and provided produce to the neighborhood when the city of Bethlehem called us. Second Harvest joined us in that exercise for quite at least, well, they were there once a month providing shelf-stable product also. I think I mentioned the relationship about building food access with the institutions before. We are talking with Meals on Wheels of the Greater Lehigh Valley. One of the things that's really critically part of healthcare and health recovery are medically tailored meals. And we have the capacity with our commercial kitchen and our knowledge base to produce medically tailored meals. And Meals on Wheels has the logistics to deliver those meals all over the valley, which they've been doing. So we have formed a partnership, and we're working toward that relationship to expand it. So when people come out of a hospital, they can actually get really healthy food for maybe 3 months. Then we change over to healthy groceries for 3 months. And then we progress into, in the process, we're still teaching them how to cook for stuff too. So it's, I think that's a very exciting thing of the future. And one more is one of our healthcare insurers, Highmark Whole Care, has come to us and is going to sponsor 4 lifestyle programs in Center City, Allentown, nice, over the next 2 years, which will be right in the Franklin Park area. And to have an insurer actually get involved in this is really big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nationally a big deal. Yeah. So we're very excited to prove that lifestyle medicine and this whole immersion infrastructure can work in the community. And once we know it works as well, we can then replicate it elsewhere.
We're down to 2 minutes, and I could talk about this for another half an hour at least. So quickly, can you talk about measurable impact that the foundation has achieved thus far?
I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I'll pick one from each area.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Schools. We do pre- and post-tests, but I think the most measurable impact is that I have one story. A young man in fourth grade heard our Healthy Choices, how to read a nutrition label. He went home to his mom that day, stopped eating ultra-processed food. He kept it. He volunteered for us through high school. He is now in medical school.
Nice.
And he's going through medical school. And that is one example of how you can take one child and walk all the way through. His mom also now volunteers with us. We teach medical students and resident doctors in their teaching kitchens about how to cook food. The response back there is also equally as great. The lifestyle medicine program, it's amazing how many people who even have insurance don't go to the doctor, and how many people have chronic disease states that they do not know. There's a list of people who we have dropped their A1C, who we have dropped their cholesterol and put them back in a normal range and dropped their cholesterol. That, by definition, is a fabulous. That is the end game of everything we do. Mm-hmm. And I think the food access side, I probably have 15 pages of testimonials from people who, especially through COVID and now even post-COVID at Franklin Park, about how much the ability to get fresh produce in their neighborhood that's convenient and affordable on a weekly basis has made a huge difference in their own health and their well-being.
Hmm. Well, this was really great to talk with you. I want to thank my co-host, Samantha. Always a great conversation. And thank you, Eric Ruth from the Kellen Foundation, for being here. You can learn more about the foundation at their website, kellyn.org, or on Instagram at Kellen Foundation. Thanks so much for being here.
This has been the Well-Being Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.